2 Corinthians 7, he talks about his letter where in 1 Corinthians 5 he's asked them to basically disfellowship this brother who had taken his father's wife. And he says in verse 8, "Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it." So it is rather difficult to quite see how Paul is reasoning here, because he seems to have been tough with them, and then he regrets it, and by all means he's trying to keep them on board with him, it seems. And it's hard to think that he's not motivated by a desire to see them contribute to his Jerusalem Poor Fund, which seems to me to have been maybe somewhat of an obsession with him. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to just observe that although he wrote the first letter under inspiration and told them to do this to this individual, he says, "I did regret it. I felt bad about it." That's what he seems to be saying. I felt guilty that letter made you so sorry and it was so upsetting to you. I felt really guilty about it. But now, well, I don't. So this raises the issue of guilt. There is false guilt and there is true guilt. We as sinners really ought to take guilt for our actual sins. But the thing is, we also take false guilt because so much false guilt is put on us by people. And I think these Corinthians were trying to put a lot of false guilt on Paul, and he took it, it seems, at some point in some way. So then, I suppose it's impossible by any sort of intellectual process to differentiate in our own self-examination what is false guilt and what is true guilt. Should I feel guilty about this or that, or shouldn't I, or to what degree was I responsible, etc.? All I can say is that the Lord Jesus is presented as our guilt offering, that all our guilt, true or false, has been dealt with in him. And yet, I think it's worth reflection as we examine ourselves, and, you know, we really do need to examine ourselves. I think it is worth reflecting that there are some Bible examples of taking false guilt. I think David, for example, over that business of the census, he feels terribly guilt-stricken that by taking the census, he has apparently brought suffering and the judgment of God upon the people. But it was no sin to take a census. It's just that they had to pay the half shekel of atonement money whenever a census was taken, and if they didn't, there would be a plague. Well, the census was taken, and I think this is why Joab is against the idea, because he knows that they're not going to pay the money. And, well, they don't pay it, I guess. And so when God decides what should be the judgment, well, the judgment is not against David, it is against the people. And it was by plague, which was exactly the threat for not paying the census money. So I think David took false guilt there. And I think that Jesus is a great example of refusing to take false guilt when, for example, Joseph and Mary in Luke chapter 2 sort of tear him off a strip about disappearing for 3 days into the temple. He gently rebukes them. He doesn't say, "Oh yeah, sorry Ma, you know, oh, we were sorry about that. Yeah, I've done that wrong, yeah." He does not take that false guilt, and particularly in his trial, he also doesn't take false guilt, even though plenty of it was being pressed upon him. And there's other examples of taking false guilt within the Bible, and you can think about it at your leisure. Absalom, he comforts his raped sister not to feel guilty. The AV says don't take it to heart, but the idea of the Hebrew is don't feel guilty, as it seems she was feeling that way. That's in 2 Samuel 13. You can think about that too for your homework. It's as if she was raped, and so she took guilt, and Absalom says, no, don't. That is absolutely false guilt. You were not guilty. Your rapist was guilty and not you. And as I say, there is such a thing as false guilt, and we have to be aware that there are some people in some situations which don't have to put it on you. They are trying to offload their own guilt onto you, and it's all on the level of deep subconscious and unconsciously done. So, two things. One, be aware of that in your self-examination, that there's true guilt and false guilt. And secondly, as I said, I don't think it's possible in our self-examination to clearly draw the line between them. This I should feel guilty for, that I should not. This I should feel a bit guilty for, but not completely. I don't think, as I say, by any conscious process within the mind, you can sort that out. But the faith, the trust that we're asked to show is in the sacrifice of Jesus, that he is the guilt offering. And so Paul can say that our conscience is cleansed in Christ. What does he mean by that? Our conscience is cleansed in Christ. I think the idea is that because of his sacrifice, all the beep-beeps of conscience, bad conscience, that there are within us, whether they are legitimate or not, it is all dealt with. And we are loved of God and loved of Jesus. And he thinks we're great. He looks at us with great joy and enthusiasm, longing for the day when he shall return to the earth and take us as his bride.